This is Jaguars All Access. Brought to you by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, an official sponsor of the Jaguars. Baptist Health, changing healthcare for good. And EverBank, the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Sun is setting a little bit earlier this time of year as the city of Jacksonville awaits the Jaguars' first victory of the year. We're live here at the stadium on Jaguars All Access. Hi, everybody. Sam Kavaris with you for the next half hour to talk about what's going on with the Jaguars. And obviously, yesterday is the closest that they've been to victory, falling by just 2 points, 16-14 on a block kick at the end of the game from the Tennessee Titans. It was their best opportunity for victory so far this year and kind of let it slip through their fingers. Joining me as he does every week is Jeff Loggeman. And, Jeff, this is a game that, as Gus said today, players will replay a lot and think, what could I have done a little bit differently that could have made the difference?
Well, sure, because if one player makes a play in that ball game, it changes the outcome completely. And you can look at offense, defense, and special teams. So I think everybody can look in the mirror at one time.
And this is a game that, I mean, I could tell walking in the locker room, there were some guys who I thought were very professional about it, politely declined to talk to us because it hurt.
Yeah, and it was probably the quietest locker room that I have seen in the Gus Bradley era. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, they knew that they were so close. But that's what you want.
Right.
You want a locker room that gets upset about not getting a game that was there for the taking. But I will give them credit now. That game didn't appear to be there for the taking. But the quarterback gave him a chance.
Yeah, right there at the end. And our guest this week is one of the guys up front who helps out in terms of blocking for the quarterback, Blake Bortles, and that's Brandon Linder. Brandon, rookie right guard from the University of Miami, he joins us here live on Jaguars All Access. It was a quiet locker room. I saw you getting dressed in the locker room afterwards, and I talked to a couple of your line mates, and their guys weren't hanging their head, but there was a lot of head shaking going on in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the work that we put in, you know, it's difficult to come up that short. You kind of just reflect and see what you could have done differently.
Yeah, I was actually interviewing Austin Pasdor, you know, who's right beside you on the offensive line. And I asked him, I said, hey, Austin, will you come on the radio with me for the post game? He's like, yeah, you know, and he's just struggling. I mean, because after a game like that, the emotions are high. You know, it's almost like you want a little bit of a period to just kind of decompress a little bit before you do something like
Gus
that.
Gus talked a lot today and after the game yesterday about learning from that. Can you tell that happens? I mean, fans out there are like, okay, enough learning. Let's win some games.
Right.
And I know that you guys are saying that's where we're trying to get to.
Right. I mean, after a game like that, again, you got to go back and you got to learn from your mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing that Coach Gus talks about and preaches, and it's something that, you know, we need to do. And it is difficult, but, you know, I think we need to just keep adhering to the process.
There were some things that happened in the game that, as Jeff mentioned, the quarterback, Blake Bortles, continues to show that he has virtually no ceiling to what he's capable of do. And, Jeff, our first play is Clay Harbor. That catch and run. This throw on the angle away from him is such a great throw, and it's a great catch and run afterwards as well.
Well, this is what they need more of, Sam. I mean, you need chunks. You need explosive plays. The defense has been giving up too many, and the offense hasn't had enough. This 59-yarder allowed them to put together a 7-play, 80-yard drive that resulted in a touchdown. More big plays result in more points.
That is such a gorgeous throw, as I said. Going away from him at a little bit of an angle toward the sideline, pressure coming, and stood right in there.
Stood right in there and takes one in the chest. Now, Brandon, we don't want to see him taking too many like that in the chest now.
Of course not.
Exactly. Clay Harbor also involved in our second play, which turned into be a touchdown that gave the Jaguars some new hope.
This throw might be what I think is the prettiest throw of the game. At what was maybe the most critical moment of the game. We're actually going to look at this film room Friday on Jaguars.com because he thread the needle right between a linebacker, two linebackers, and a safety and threw it to the back shoulder to allow Clay Harbor an opportunity to catch it and get in the end zone. You got to be impressed yourself when you see him make plays like this.
I mean, yeah, that was a big-time play. I mean, he's a playmaker, and for us to score like that, you know, was big.
And our Baptist Health game-changing moment turns out to be the blocked field goal after the recovery of the onside kick. The 55-yarder is blocked from the center of the line. I know you're going to take a look at this as well.
Yeah, we're actually going to look at the onside kick when we get to the film room, as well as the blocked kick and why that happens, and going to hopefully put that in terms that people can understand as far as a golf game goes.
And that is a long kick, a 55-yarder, but certainly within Josh Scobie's range. And the fact that the block came from the center of the line is something you don't see very much in the NFL.
No. And what Josh Scobie career, 62.2% from 50 yards and beyond. Now, I've watched Josh Scobie before the game when he warms up. I've seen him kick him from 65 yards. And so a lot of people, including myself on the radio, were thinking, okay, one more play to get another 6 or 7, maybe 8 yards. But with so many young players on the team, you know, he was hesitant to do that and to lose the opportunity completely.
Did you think there would be one more offensive play with 12 seconds to play?
I mean, we finished the play, and then all of a sudden, you know, the field goal team's running out. I mean, we could have maybe got one more, but, you know, Coach Gus wanted us to kick a field goal, so we lined up and, you know, we tried to execute.
Jeff, you say every week that the most important stat happens to be takeaways, giveaways, and which side of that equation that you're on?
Well, right now as a football team, Brandon, you guys are -8, and that is the single most determining factor in any football game. And offensively, I think one thing that will help you guys is if you can have more balance as an offense to where you're running the football and passing the ball almost equally as far as play calling goes.
Yeah, I mean, of course, as an offensive lineman, you know, you're looking to run the ball. I mean, that's something that we love to do. But, you know, sometimes you get into those passing situations where you got to pass it.
And you got a young quarterback. I mean, that's right. That's part of the growth process with a young quarterback is turnovers do happen. But defensively, they got to find a way to get more of them.
And I thought, of all people, Cecil Shorts was not the guy who would turn the ball over inside the red zone. More than anybody, perhaps on offense, he understands the opportunity to cover and protect the football there.
Well, and Cecil could have been a little bit more aware because the guy that was actually in coverage on him was the guy that ended up causing the fumble. He should have been aware that he could have made that play. And this was a lost opportunity here by the Jaguars defense. Will Blackman was looking maybe for a repeat from last year where he had the sack, cause fumble, recover, fumble, and a touchdown. And this was a lost opportunity because he stopped the forward motion of Charlie Whitehurst's arm, and that ball is bouncing around on the ground. And at that point, it should be an absolute sprint to that ball, and you wait for the whistle after the fact. You just got to play as if it's live.